CliffCentral.com.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Yes.
Monday. Monday in September. And hopefully you're getting into the spring fever. That's kind of how I'm feeling. Very, very nice. Bulelo's here. I am here. And Leanne Moll is, she's going to be joining us in a second. She says her mic is not working. She's got to restart the whole process. Oh, okay. So she's sorting it out there. Don't worry. So, Bulelo, how was your weekend?
Yeah, good, Gareth.
Let me just turn off the, I've got the music playing in the background. Just give me a sec. Yeah, you said good?
Good. Spring has truly sprung. It's doing its thing. But I made the classic mistake this weekend.
Yeah.
I went to like a braai kind of situation with just black guys there. And I've always said that's a terrible situation to have a single race at any party. So you shouldn't have just white guys or just black guys.
Yeah.
Because there's like a pool at this estate.
Yeah.
But just black guys. So like, it is, stereotypes are fantastic. But because black guys are just about swag largely. So yeah. nobody wants to swim.
Right.
But you don't want just white guys because then it becomes a swimming gala, you know? So what we need is we all need each other. So
yeah,
we needed one or two more. Plus,
you needed some token. Plus, you needed some token whites.
And also, you know what you need? You know what you really need at every braai? You can't just have black guys because they just want to eat inyama. And no matter how much they went to St. David's, it doesn't matter. We were all raised by the same fathers.
Yes.
You need the white rich chick, actually. She's important at braai because she brings the salad with croutons.
Right.
And
the vegetable stuff that you actually need to have a balanced meal. Otherwise, it's just straight meat. Like if you left me alone, it's not even, I don't even think it's a black guy thing. Because if you said to me, hey, you can have a braai, and I'll be happy with that, by the way. Just the sound of it just makes me happy. But you don't have to worry about any of the, you know, those other dishes, those things that you're talking about now. If it was just like, I don't know, chops or steak, or I'd be fine with that. I mean, I probably wouldn't eat anything else. In fact, I've often cooked meals for myself where I go, I should really put something with this meat. And I go, nah, what the hell? It's fine. Don't need it. I'll just have the meat. And apparently it's very bad for you.
Yeah, that's where you need Sue Ann, who went to Kingsmead or St. Anne's, where she's bringing the potato salad that's taken her 2 days. Yeah, it makes a difference now as you get older as well. You know, I think it's cool when you're 25, but I'm old now, 35. I do want a proper meal at a braai. So
you're old.
We live when we learn.
Well, listen, I'm sorry that your braai didn't work out to be exactly the right quota system for your meal preferences. But who knows? It might be a good thing every now and then.
No, it's not.
You don't think
it's not,
so?
Like, no, like I'm old now. I have very few cool braais left in my life. I'm 35, soon I'll be 45. Probably have two kids or whatever. It's no time for braais then. I've got to have quality braais from now on.
Well, all right. I suppose if that's there's urgencies banging on your door, you know, and urgencies trying to get you to hurry it up. A couple of comments here. First of all, Ruth says that there are salad bars at Spa, or you can get a garlic bread, so you don't even have to do the work anymore. That's a good point. So I'm pretty good at the bread part of this as well. I've become fairly picky about what kind of. I will not have substandard breads at a braai anymore. This is a hugely important. You've come in at just the right moment, Leanne. We were about to have a boring conversation, but then as soon as you came in, it changed to the most important thing at a braai, which is the breads. And that was what we were about to indulge in. But I somehow feel that even that's not to your standard.
Well, I thought you said reds at first, and I thought you meant wine. So I thought, yes, I am.
Oh, yeah, you're interested in that. Jesus.
What about breads?
No, I was just saying to Mbulelo, so it was my mother's, it's my mom's birthday today, and we had a little lunch for her yesterday, and these very good family friends of ours came to join us, and it was just such a happy, fun day. You know, you sit around the table, everybody's just laughing and telling funny stories, and everyone was on fire. It was such a good day. It's just a happy day, and there was no pressure to do anything, you know, when you're with people who you've been with a lot in your life. You don't have to make an effort with anyone, or ask them, oh, you know, how's business going? Because you're worried about like whether or not they've had a good year in business. Or, you know, you talk about Corona. It didn't come up once. None of that stuff. It was just funny, lovely, happy stories the whole time and hilarious shit about everybody and what they've been up to. And that was it was a fun day.
Yeah.
And then as part of the whole thing, what got me to the bread conversation is Mbulela was saying he was at a braai over the weekend, just black dudes, and he said they basically just ate meat. There was nothing else on the table. And I went and bought those ciabatta breads.
At least some pup, you know?
No, not even.
Not those kind of black guys. St. David's, Hilton, none of the Leanne, I see where you were going there. Not that version of black. No.
We
don't just watch anymore.
I don't even mean black. I mean like Afrikaans with pup and sauce.
Yeah. Pup is a big thing. Anyway, so I bought these ciabatta breads. So, you know the kind that you put in the oven for like a couple of minutes and then nice. I mean, however. And if I'll never eat, like, I'm not a big loaf of bread person, right? I don't think I ever really make toast or it's not a big thing. But you know how Oprah always used to go, oh, I love bread. And I always thought, well, what the hell is this woman on about? But there is something about a really beautifully baked bit of fresh, fantastic bread that you just, why would you ever go back to like, Sasco sliced after that. Oh. Why would you do that to your body?
I know. And also I'm watching at the moment Bobby and Giada. It's a well-known chef in America who travels through Rome with Giada, who grew up. She's a bit of a personality and foodie.
Yeah.
She grew up in Rome. And the two of them are doing a tour of Rome and just looking at how things have changed over time with food, which is really something that they don't do in Rome. You know, you stick to tradition.
Yeah.
But how things are changing slightly. But what was interesting is how much is based on dough and
oh, man.
Pizza and bread. Mm. And you can go into any tiny little shop on the street and you'll have the most amazing thin almost pizza dough that they even cut thinner into half across the side,
yes.
across ways. And fill it with these fresh cured meats and artichokes and zucchini flowers. And,
that sounds fantastic.
And that bread just so crispy and delicious.
Oh, man. So apparently
you see why you need the white chick. Zucchini and blah, blah, blah. That's so, why. We need each other. We need it. Not just black oaks. We need zucchini. I mean.
This is Mbulela is spreading a message of unity this morning, people. Do not this is a small thing. Yeah, this is his Mandela moment. So apparently if you want to sell a house, when, you know, the house is on show or something, it's on the market. Best way to sell a house is to bake bread. Because that smell makes people feel like that's where they want to be. And they are like, oh, this place is so homely and lovely. How do you make your house so cozy and nice? Apparently the thing is you bake some bread in the oven and that smell will make them want to stay.
Even if it's shit bread and you don't end up eating it.
Just bake it because your asking price can go up. That's all.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, right?
Absolutely.
Gavin agrees with Mbulela. That essentially chicken is just salad at a braai with your mates. Yeah, pretty much. So.
That's the problem.
That's about right. Tracy says ciabatta with butter. Everything is better with butter. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, you know what we're talking about. Oh, my God. Okay, so hang on. Jewish New Year starts tonight. So happy Rosh Hashanah, says Ruth, wishing everyone blessings for a sweet and happy year. While you're talking about, I thought Ruth was going to say kitka bread because, oh, my God, is that the best stuff. I don't know if you've ever had a challah. Yeah, it's so good. My God, that's nice.
But you just break apart in these knobs and
it's fluffy and so it's just good. That's the best. All right, you also need beer, says Tony. Yes, there's a lot of beer in the process. So I told you last Thursday I did. I put up a shelf, right, and I decided to continue doing some DIY through the course of my weekend. But I also had some people here on Friday night, and we put my shelves to use, and they held up. I'm proud to say they didn't crash down. You know,
did you put people on the shelves?
No, no, no. I put like food and drink on the shelves, and it seems to have worked. Nothing broke, so I'm very proud of myself.
Well done.
Isn't that good? Right?
Good.
Because I really, that would have been a disaster. Yeah. Imagine I built the things, and then Friday night they're all completely fucked and break and, you know, shatter and cause people injuries. Can you? That's just not my favorite thing, is to watch people get hurt because of DIY decisions I made that were poorly constructed. But this week, I have a couple of things on the agenda that I have to do. I've got I have my lists every week. So almost like clockwork on a Sunday night. I usually can't sleep on a Sunday night. Usually lie in bed. And if I do fall asleep, then I'll wake up at some point in the night. And in order to get back to sleep, I'll plan the whole week. So I'll look at all the things I have to do for that week, stuff that, you know, has to be done at home, at work, things I need to go to the shops for, you know, dumb stuff. I need to call these people. I need to plan this. So that's going to be my start to the week this week, and I'm feeling pretty good about it because my list is long. I got to sleep at about 2 last night. Great.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's all I can do to sleep.
So now, Ruth was saying it's beginning of the Jewish New Year.
Yes,
right. And I had a treat yesterday.
What is it like? You know, it's the year 5,400 and something. I think. Let me look it up. It's hilarious.
Shout out.
Yes, go
shout
on.
Shout out to them. But it's been a while since we've interacted as human beings, and somebody who I played cricket with when we were very, very young. So I went to King David and he got a hold of my number. Hey, congratulations, you're working with Gareth Cliff, blah, blah, blah.
Hmm.
But I'd forgotten, because I just haven't seen mates for a long time, you know. So I'd forgotten what a Jewish chay sounded like, because Cape Town Jewish folks are very, very different to the Joburg chays, the boys.
Well, chays is, anyway, is more a lib, but yes, I get you.
No, but you know Jewish guys, when the jocks get together, they call each other chay.
Well,
okay.
No. There's a bit of like, brother or boy or,
or just the shortened version of any name.
Any name. You take your name, and however short it may already be, it may be Tom. Mm. They'll find a way of making it Tar. That's more like.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, yesterday was a treat for me just to like hear him, because we're reminiscing now. So I'm like, hey, how's, you know, David Ostrovsky and Mark Nicholas and these? He's, yeah, no, I'm a rat. How you been? It's nice to hear from you. It's just incredible to see you like doing well. And I thought, Jesus, have I missed you? Chaya? So I'm going to get a coffee with the guy. Yeah, it was just a treat to be back chatting to everyone in society. So
magic.
Happy New Year to him.
You have to, you know, this is the point, and I think maybe this is also what you were saying when you brought up like the braai with just the black guys. It's like, if you don't mix it up and you don't have friends from all kinds of interesting places, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to try and force diversity on your friendship group, but it really does help. It makes things a whole lot more interesting, and there's more to laugh at, and there's more to make fun of. And if I know one thing about me and any of my close friends, we love taking the piss out of each other.
Absolutely.
That
is the basis of life.
Right.
We are all ridiculous. Like Jewish, black, we are all ridiculous. By the very nature of being human, we're ridiculous.
No, I do love taking the piss. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing you want to spend your afternoon doing. Oh my God, it's hilarious. And you just, you know, when you know you can really hit people with mean insults. And I sometimes have to stop myself because we get into a thing where we're just trading. Basically, this is what men do. Like, we trade insults with each other. The more we like each other as friends, the nastier we are. And then I'll sometimes start doing that with some of the girls, and the reaction's very different. Hey, doesn't always go well.
But also, if you had to put any of that stuff that you say onto social media, you'd be canceled.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
You know,
I would be canceled. They'd burn me at the stake. I wouldn't make it through September. I'd be done. No, it's unreal.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
You're so right, Leanne. I have a 94-year-old, she's, I don't know, her bestie. I don't know what you could even call her. But and now she's figured out WhatsApp, by the way. So now some of the things she says are, my God.
Is she quite hardcore?
Yeah.
Bit of a bitch.
No, and she's Jewish. So the things she says are just...
Haven't you
like
told...
Rose, you can't say it.
You've told us about this woman. She's... You spend a lot of time with this lady.
So her father mentored my dad.
Her father? She's
sorry,
in her 90s.
Sorry, her husband. Her husband. Her husband.
I was going to say, my God, her father must have been born in the Anglo-Boer War. Before the Rinderpest.
No. Sorry. Her husband. Her husband. There was like a mentor for my dad. Yeah.
Okay.
I've known her my whole life. And she says the most deplorable thing. So to Leanne's point, if somebody caught those WhatsApps on my phone from her, my God, I'm
Carl says, I'm half Lebanese. Please, man, all we have is the ability to be mocked. Don't steal our chay. The Jews have enough cool stuff. Get it together, Mbulelo. Yeah.
I was reminded of the old Nan that Catherine Tate plays.
Oh, I love that woman.
Who's just so un-PC.
Someone
says the wrong thing.
Yeah, you know, this is what's great about living in 2021. If you need to have more reasons to love being alive right now, this woman, you can get these clips now anywhere. You know, when I was in varsity, if you wanted to show someone a funny thing, they had to come to your house. You had to get like a VHS or later on a DVD and find the right place and then play it for them. And they had to be in your presence. Now you go on your phone and you can say, oh, have you seen Catherine Tate's Nan? Oh, no, I haven't. Well, look at this. And you can laugh at it right there and then. And you forward it to them on WhatsApp. You don't even need to be in the room with them. And you can share humor like that, which has been part of it's one of the most foundational things in my life. I mean, Leanne, haven't we laughed about English comedy shows pretty much since I've known you? And you have this old lady and she's a bit rough. She's like a proper sort of East London Cockney old bitch, and she's hardcore. She's rough around the edges, you know, and she sits there with her legs quite wide, and and she puts her hands
in her floral dress
her
legs are
and she goes
wide open.
Hello, my boy. Yeah, she calls him over, and there's her grandson. She goes, hello, my boy, come on, give your grand a kiss. And then he comes over and gives her a kiss, and then she starts going on about the woman next door. She's like, that fucking woman. And she starts unloading on this woman. Yeah. And then her takeaway line is always, what a fucking liberty.
Yeah. So the one I watched recently, her son, she's in hospital. No. She's fine. But her son wants to bring a friend in to meet her.
Yeah.
And she's like, is it a girl? And he says, yes. She's like, oh, thank God. Thank God. Finally. Because she's been scared that he's been gay. Yeah. And he brings, he says, but Nan, please don't, you're going to want to say something, but just don't. Yeah. And this goes on and on and on. She's like, no, I promise you, I will not say anything bad. And this woman walks in and she has this exaggeratedly huge nose.
Yeah. Big,
and
big
she's
nose.
She's like, oh, oh, fuck that. She can't help herself. And the woman says, are you okay? She says, you know, I had a bit of a cold as well once, or just recently. And she goes, how did you survive that?
Oh, that huge nose. It's so great.
Oh, God.
Listen, speaking of huge noses and such things, I saw a friend of mine who I haven't actually, I saw her on Facebook. Believe it or not, I went into Facebook. Who does that anymore? But, she and I used to be pretty good friends, but like party friends. I would see her, you know, around holiday time. She had they had a place down in Belito or something, and so I'd see her quite often. This is many years ago. Anyway, so she got married a while ago, and I met the husband once or twice. Nice guy, and they seem like happy family stuff. But what an ugly child! What an ugly, ugly child! Holy shit! There's a picture of this kid, and no, really, I think it's a boy, but I can't. I don't really know. I mean, it's.
Do they say?
No. Of course not. No. They think the child's beautiful. So,
but you'll be surprised that kid will grow up to be very, very beautiful. What?
No, you say that, but you know, again, objectively. Because you can be objective. It's not my kid. It's I don't have to be nice. And I see other people's children. on social media or in person, and I go, well, that's a cute little kid. That's a cute baby. This child of theirs must be, I don't know, about 3 or 4 now. And it's getting worse and worse. It's not getting better. I don't believe you're right. You say that, that's kind of what people say because they don't know what else to say, because you can't go, oh my God, when you look at it, when it walks into your house or something. People say, oh, you know, sometimes unattractive children become really beautiful adults. No, nonsense. I've never seen that happen. You could sometimes check in someone's baby pictures. You say, well, there were the telltale signs there of something very ugly coming.
There's a trend on Afrikaans TikTok at the moment.
This is an Afrikaans TikTok. This is, you see, you're so plugged in to this shit. There's a trend on Afrikaans TikTok. Those are words that have never been strung in a sentence together by my mouth ever.
Where you can actually...
Wow. Wow.
Where, you know, the whole thing is you upload onto your screen a picture of this like really ugly baby, but it's been faked.
Right.
You know, I mean, they've pushed the eyes close together and they've given it these huge ears.
So far sounds like Prince Charles, but yes, okay.
Yeah. And they pretend they're on a video call with a friend and they're like, hi Susan, weiss vir ons die nuwe baba. And then they show their mom or their gran the picture and say, look, we're on video call. What do you think of the baby? And the woman's like, hi fuito, hoi, yoi. And you can see the absolute horror. And they're like, hey, spire moi. Spire moi.
So this
and then the person holding the phone up just cracks up because they know it's fake.
Well, I think I saw something similar to that someone forwarded me. But it's a like a colored family. Is that the one you're talking about?
Could be.
Okay, yeah.
Could be.
Because I just assumed, again, being a South African, I just assumed you said Afrikaans TikTok. So I'm like, well, it must be whites, but it's not. I think the clip you're talking about is actually colored. And my God.
Oh,
it's
no,
like,
no, no. So it's a trend. So,
so everyone's doing it now.
50 or 60 of them, okay. Yeah, right. You can see. And it's mainly Afrikaans TikTok.
Well, maybe the original. Anyway, look, what do you do, though? This is the problem, is that when someone shows you their child and they want you to be really impressed, and you you can't actually fake it because what a cute child, because I'm not very good at lying when you know someone presents me with something like this.
This is why you need rules,
like a little
good
tree
for you. The only thing you should ever say about somebody's baby to them is good for you. Don't try and be expressive and show how much you think children are important.
Good for you. Is that
keep
it?
Moving. Good for you. Because you know, people who've had babies think they are the third coming of Christ and they've created life and like just their monstrosities can do anything anywhere. So good for you. Let me get the hell out of here because they take that so seriously. Yeah, good for you.
So you know, I'm a Kazanti.
Yes.
And my cousin-nephew has this flaming red hair. He's going through this Einstein phase at the moment. It's too cute. He's got this halo of red spikes. And my cousin's friend said to her, oh, he's so gorgeous. What color is his hair? And Taryn went, no, I know he's a gin. She went, oh, okay, just checking.
Anyway, look, we can only hope that the kids look a bit strange when they're younger. We can only hope that they get better looking. I mean, that would be nice, right? And you do occasionally have these kids who looked horrendous when they were children, and then they grow up to be very attractive adults. But you're still stuck with them for a little while where they really are just little trolls, really. Ugly little trolls. And sometimes, here's the interesting thing, is sometimes the parents are very good-looking people and they produce this very ugly child. It's not, you know...
Let me just be clear here.
You think that because the parents are good-looking, the kids will be, but that's not always true.
Let me just be clear, because I felt like my cousin-nephew got tossed into the ugly pile.
No.
He's certainly not. He's the cutest thing.
He's
a good-looking baby.
Yes, I know. You have to just put that caveat in there. No, I got you, but... We were talking about ugly babies. That's how it came up, that, you know, the ginger hair. But have you noticed this? That sometimes, like, one of the conversations yesterday was, Like if you breed with someone who has thick ankles, then those thick ankles are going to be in your family forever. Thick ankles. So I think my grandmother.
Ankles.
Yeah, my grandmother used to say, a weak jaw and thick ankles. You must avoid at all costs. I don't mind who you marry.
That's definitely
just don't marry a girl.
That's an old person thing.
I know, but don't marry a girl with thick ankles and with a weak jaw. That was always what we were told as children.
It's a solid starting point.
It's good, right?
Can't fold towels is the saying with a weak jaw. But it seems to be much older people. I remember my grandfather, when I put on my matric dance dress, my ankles were obscured by a piece of furniture. And he said, move over. And he looked me up and down and he looked at my ankles and he went, yes, that's good.
Dropped arches.
Definitely an old person thing. Yeah, but now it's big booties.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly right. So there used to be this study called phrenology, where they would actually look at the shape of your skull, and that would reveal something about your personality, your character, your intelligence, right? So when they described someone like Anne Boleyn, the wife of Henry VIII in the 1500s, they would say Anne Boleyn had an intellectual forehead. Now, I mean, there is no way you can judge how clever someone is by the shape of their head. None. Okay, it's completely discredited. It's pseudoscience. It's bullshit. We all know it's bullshit now. But in those days, they didn't. So if you had a very sort of proud forehead and it was quite big, they thought you were obviously very smart. You're obviously a clever person. Because in those days, you know, everybody was pretty stupid. I mean, all that they knew could have been fitted on the front page of a newspaper and there'd be space left over. And that would be their whole life. Everything they knew in their lives on one page. They were not very smart people. Obviously, there were some. But there was no way you could tell from the outside. So the way they described people was, you know, Anne had a really good forehead, a very intellectual head. And she was wise and erudite, and you could tell that from her jaw. Like, because she spoke well, her jaw was of a certain proportion, right? It's just, they're kind of ridiculous. This is how people used to talk. And I think there are characteristics that you can definitely pass down. Like, there are some things in families that are indistinguishable from other people's families. Like, you can immediately see if someone is someone else's kid. Or if they are related in some way. And you often see it with siblings. You know, you can compare with your siblings and there can be vast differences, but there always be one characteristic that people have in common. And some of these things are pretty damn obvious. They have family characteristics. So I think that those old people, there may be something to it, like the thin ankles thing or the weak jaw thing. There may be a thing going on there. They may be right about something. Those old people weren't always wrong.
No, dude, I can only speak for men. Yeah. Women, I don't know how you think. I don't know how your life goes. You have to, if you fall in love with someone, you have to meet their mother. Just so you know what you're in for mid to long term.
Yeah.
You have to know how this thing's going to go. And to those people that are so enlightened that they've transcended to the sixth dimension, good for you. Looks do matter. Now you know what you're going to be in for at a 60th, you know?
But also, I mean, surely you've got to think about what you pass on to your children. So you do want to know. What if you have like a gammy thumb or something? There's something wrong with your hand and you pass that on to a child.
It's true. That's true.
But also, the same could be said for women looking at fathers.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what. I also, it's so weird that you mentioned Facebook, Gareth. I never go onto it other than for work.
Yeah.
And for some reason, last night, something caught my eye as I opened it up. And I ended up scrolling through, and it left me with such a horrible feeling. I don't like associating with the people that I knew from the past.
Oh, really?
I really don't. I'm not good at keeping school friends and varsity friends, and I tend to move on very quickly. Mm-hmm. But there was one guy in particular who I remember when, 14 years ago.
Yes.
He was this, he was an Olympian of some sort. Can't remember which sport. And I was really into him. He was like a friend of a friend.
Okay.
And I was going through my kind of baby lush moment where I would pick up basically anyone and be proud about picking them up. I remember putting my hand on his leg and he wasn't happy with that. But it was all jokes. He was an absolute gorgeous specimen.
Yes.
And I happened to find something where he was tagged and he looked like he'd aged four times.
Oh, that's horrible. Oh. Oh, that's.
And his wife is still beautiful.
Yeah, you see, then you got to feel so sorry for her, right? Ugh.
Well, I mean, I don't. They love each other and they've got lovely children and all the rest of it.
Yeah, but she looks at him now.
It happens with men as well.
But you said he used to be hot. Now he's revolting.
I feel for
certainly not what he was. Yeah,
shame. She's stuck with
like
him.
If you are in a relationship, before we move on, it is a big thing though. Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to stay. Forget the rest of the world and Instagram. Why wouldn't you want to be in the best shape for your partner? I've always wondered when people let either partner let themselves go. It's like,
yes.
Don't you want to give that to your partner?
You would think. All right, let's do a little bit of headline this morning. Headlining. Let's see what we've got here. Former President Jacob Zuma released on medical parole. Surprise, sir, fucking prize. Didn't we know this was going to happen, right?
The Shabir Sheikhs, inevitable. Yeah.
Well, did you see what happened with Reedy Tlabi and Jacob Zuma's daughter? Because that got hot over the weekend. Yeah, you were watching the story unfold, Leanne. Tell us.
Yeah, like 0 to 100. It was pretty intense. I don't know who started it, and I don't know if there was something, you know, happening before it.
Well, there's the book that Reedy Tlabi and the series that she did on the girl who accused Jacob Zuma of rape, remember?
Yes.
And who was then very publicly outed and who died. I think it was suicide. I can't really remember now. But that was where it all started going very sour, because Reedy Tlabi basically told this woman's story. And it was harrowing. It was the most horrible, horrible version of kind of what Jacob Zuma is supposed to be like when no one's looking. And this poor girl, who was the daughter of a friend of his, and just what a creep he is. So, yes?
So I think it was Reddy who started, and she said, she was referring to the riot instigators. Mm. She said, they all think they can't be traced. You don't even need the hawks. In 5 minutes, these minions can be found. Then they abandon Twitter. Should they stay and be bold? Imagine being 36 and appearing in court on a Monday over politicians who don't give a rat's ass about you. Hmm. And then the daughter, Dudu Zuma Sambudla, replied, the same politician you used to visit in his forest town home? Ooh. I know, because I had to open the door for you. And it didn't end there. You followed the same politician to Henendal in Cape Town, Kubeka, and I'll open the files. You are just bitter.
Ooh.
To which she responded, saying, I have never been there, she really said. She said, I've never stepped foot in there. It got to where she was saying things like, you are truly your father's child. You're vile and dishonest.
Wow.
You sat in a court of law and justified his rapey, predatory abuse of Fezeka Guzwayo. So nothing will stop you from doing it here. I've never visited his forest town home. I've never been to Henendal since Mbeki's presidency. However, I went to Dumbarton residence, his official residence as deputy president, to interview him as Burundi mediator. But like you, he sees professional settings as opportunities to be creepy. He became creepy and predatory. That's who your father is. Your mother knew him well. You deserve him.
Ooh,
you're
because you see their mother, she killed herself.
God, that's really hitting hard.
Yeah, you're going deep on this one. It's just but you know, also don't mess with Reedy Tlabi, because first of all, she's got a good memory. Second of all, she probably has kept track of her career a lot better than you might have, if you're some observer from the outside. And third of all, you're not defending a person who's universally good here. You know, he may be your father and you may love him, and we will forgive you that, obviously, because that's what daughters and fathers should feel about each other in a healthy situation. But you bring in someone and their professional conduct, and they're not, you don't have a horse in that race. You're asking for trouble. Yeah. So I wonder if that's
the last that I saw that the end from of it? It was the last I saw was where Duduzile said, the only truth you speak here, and by the way, she she capitalizes the first letter of each word, which is very irritating and makes it difficult to read.
Yes.
The only truth you speak here is that I am indeed my father's child, and proudly so. The rest is between you and your failed mission to be one of the first ladies. You just weren't Jay-Z's spec.
Wow.
Yay.
Holy shit. People are mean.
All right, ladies.
Yeah, calm down.
Let's get those claws back.
All right, calm down.
All right.
Jesus, unbelievable. So there we go. That's been happening while you were enjoying your weekend. Some people are not enjoying themselves. Defend yourselves and others within the confines of the law, Ramaphosa tells police officers. Yeah, they have this thing once a year, which, I mean, it used to be quite a prestigious event where the president of the country does a tribute to police, and there's a memorial at the Union Buildings, and every year they do a police commemoration there. Anyway, he called on the South African Police Service to implement their police safety strategy, urged officers to defend their own lives and those of citizens against criminals. He was addressing a police commemoration day. The annual event is held in remembrance of police officers who died in the line of duty. He paid tribute to fallen officers, adding that the killing of police members undermines the state. So that happened on Sunday, I think. Saturday or Sunday, one of the 2 days. And not surprising, he's also just getting on with the business while this Zuma thing carries on in the background. I think it's, you know, it's a bit of a sideshow. But I have to say, as much as we criticize President Cyril Ramaphosa, he's done very well to not get his own hands dirty in all of this. You know, he's been very careful to not add fuel to the fire, which I think a Jacob Zuma would have been unable to do, and has proven himself unable to do time after time. And then some interesting things from the world of sports. And Bulelo, you might have a comment to make on this. Apparently, we've done okay at the Paralympics.
If I'm being completely honest, I haven't really been watching the Premier League's back, so I'm not really watching anything now. Well, like nothing matters. Yeah.
That's honest of you, because I haven't watched the Paralympics either, so I was really hoping you'd pick up the slack there. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
I saw it, and also, again, I'm not a sports fanatic, so I don't remember names, etc., but I take in a little bit of the news. And there was a double amputee, a blade runner, who took home gold just yesterday, I think. There was a swimmer who took home gold as well. Yeah, but it was certainly right up there, doing really well.
Good. So this is Luzan Kutsir apparently pocketed another medal at the 2020 Tokyo Paralympics, and the sports minister has hailed the team. Marathon runner was also South Africa's closing ceremony flag bearer. Oh, so the closing. So it's done now, is it? So we've returned. We've returned with 4 gold medals, 1 silver, 2 bronze, and 3 world records. It's very good. That's really very
pay
good.
Pay the athletes.
Yeah, pay
and
them.
Pay them. Pay them. I don't want to fire half your staff and pay the athletes.
Okay, very good. So it is time for us to cross to Dr. Hanan Bushkin, who we're regularly in conversation with here on the show. We want to solve very particular problems, though. We don't want to talk generally about stuff, because it's in hearing what other people are going through and hearing their very subjective experiences in life that I think we have the most interesting conversations. Not that the general stuff isn't interesting when Dr. Hanan presents it, because he's a man of many, many years' experience, and he knows. He's seen and spoken to a great many people about a great many problems. So we'll get into that in a second, but I do want to quickly just tell you so that you know for next time, because this is going to make it a lot more interesting. We're inviting you to be a part of the show and to basically get a free consultation with Dr. Hanan. So if you have a difference of opinion with a partner, a family member, a work colleague, or a friend, get that person to come and join us and let Dr. Hanan guide you, help you figure it out. You can email contact@cliffcentral.com and we'll set it up. It's as easy as that. So especially I'm thinking here of conflict resolution. You know, if you have a conflict going on in your marriage or with a friend or in business, and you're both adult enough to be able to unpack it very briefly for Dr. Hanan, you could be helping a lot of other people. You could be teaching them some stuff. So please bring it to the show and email us, contact@cliffcentral.com. And we will treat it respectfully. I promise you, we're not going to turn it into entertainment. I mean, he's a pro, and all of us want to learn from this. And on that note, let me bring him in. Dr. Hanan, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, 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 good. So I think this is quite exciting. If we get people to come and show us how we unpack their conflicts or the potential problems they're having in relationships, it helps the rest of us to figure things out, right?
Definitely. If you're watching other people fix up their stuff, listen, we're all human beings. We have shared experiences.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so great going for coffee or a beer with your mates, because you get to hear, you know, that I'm not the only one going through these kind of issues or at home.
Right.
It's always great to interact with other people. That's what we've lost, I guess, through COVID, because it calibrates us. It makes us feel that we're normal, just like the next person.
Right.
Oh my God, your wife says the same thing. Oh my God, your boss is the same type of person. Your colleague do the same thing at work.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes us feel as normal as it can be. And we all go through conflicts, but sometimes we don't know how to resolve it. So this would be a great way to resolve it with my help.
So we got an email this week from Michael, who wants some advice from you. What do you do in a situation where you make new friends? You get on just fine, but they are very religious and we are not. This is interesting. We get on fine. The kids play together so well. Things got weird the other day because they asked us about my brother who's gay and if we support his relationship. And we laughed at first and said, sure, we support him. It's his life and we love him. Then the Bible quotes started coming out and you could see they didn't approve of this. The guy also has a sister who is a lesbian and is getting married soon and they are not attending the wedding. The problem is that we have never told them our position on religion. The conversation never went that way until now. I think if we tell them, it'll end the friendship. If that is the case, then maybe it wasn't a good, honest friendship to start with. Wow. Okay, where do we go with this? Oh. I mean, your words are ringing in my ear about like which fights you want to spend those emotional and energy coins on.
Yeah.
You know, you've brought that
for
up
sure,
for us before.
For sure.
But where do you start with
for
this?
Sure.
How do you tackle this thing?
So you know what, let me start by, you know, I was listening to your conversation a little bit earlier and how you were saying that when you engage with friends, it's quite fun to tease each other.
Mm.
And the reason why it's quite fun to tease each other is because in a relationship, doesn't matter between friends or between spouse or cousins or whatever it is, we give each other permission to say certain things. And the more permissions you give each other, the deeper the relationship is. So if I turn to my best friend compared to maybe somebody that I don't know, my best friend has a lot more rights and permissions that I've given them as opposed to maybe a stranger that I don't know. And by the way, just as a side note, the moment we give people endless or open boundaries, no grounds or no boundaries to say what they can and what they can't do, that's when they take advantage. That's when we break down. But going back to, or the relationship breaks down, but going back to the question, not all relationships serve all the needs. So different relationships serve different needs. And the moment we give a friend a title, you are my best friend, and that gives them all the rights to say and do and be everything, well, you're just putting way too much pressure. You must define what the relationship is about, because otherwise boundaries are going to be crossed and somebody's going to feel resentful. Mm-hmm. So let me just link it to something and I'll come back specifically to this question.
Okay.
Whenever I see singles in my practice and they go on dates, they go a lot of time they go, Hanan, why is it not working out for me? And my first question is, what do you want? What are you looking for in this person? And the moment they go, I don't know, that's when I go, well, that's why it's not working. And they go, right. What do you mean? Why? How can I know what I want before I actually meet it? Well, my answer is because the question that you ask is dependent on what you're looking for. And I'll give you an analogy. Imagine I'm getting somebody to work in my company just for one day. I just want somebody to come in, clean shop one day, and they're gone. That's it. The interview process is going to be very different. The questions that I'm going to ask them is going to be very different compared to if I'm looking for somebody to run my business with me.
Right.
The depth of the question, the quality of the question is going to be very different. Now, let's think of dating. If I want somebody as a one-night stand versus somebody as a long-term partner, again, the interview questions are going to be very different depending on what I want and what I'm looking for. So if I'm wanting somebody as a one-night stand, well, we just have to go, well, is there attraction?
Yeah.
Are you available tonight? We're good to go. Tick those two boxes. We're good to go. But when I'm looking for somebody to potentially join me for the rest of my life, all the questions are sure. going to be much more in depth and different. So the first question is, what do you want? Now, going back to the email, ask yourself, what do I want out of that friendship? And can they fulfill what I want? If the friendship is just about, you know, the kids interacting and it's got nothing to do with values or religion or upbringing or rights versus wrongs, well, you can let the kids interact and it's not a big deal. Mm. But the moment the question is, I want my child to only interact with people that hold the same values that I do, yeah. well, then maybe the relationship doesn't serve that purpose and you've got to question the type and the quality of the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, this is almost where you wish that Michael and the other couple were on the line and you could negotiate these things, you know? This is why it's better. Not because you want to see a fight, not for our entertainment, but because the only way you know the answer to these questions is if the people are there to represent themselves. And what you said
about...
lots of people are friends with some other couple just because their kids can play together. They don't actually really like each other. It's just...
But again, the first question is, what are you looking for? Mm. What do you want? You don't have to agree on absolutely everything. You know, I can be friends with somebody because we both like the same team, the yeah. same soccer team, and that's great. We don't have to agree on, you know, how we conduct ourselves in a romantic relationship mm. or our religious affiliation or what we agree is good, a good job or a good income or isn't. We just connect on the fact that we both like the same soccer team. But again, the moment the relationship becomes more than that and you're looking for somebody to, again, represent your soccer team as well as somebody that goes to the same church and has the same religious beliefs, and that's what you're looking for, that's what you go for.
Sure.
And if they don't fulfill that, that's okay. That's okay. Knowing what you want, but people don't want to commit to what they want because they don't want to say no, they don't want to set boundaries, they don't want the other person to reject them in return. But setting the boundaries is the first step to actually having a healthy relationship. But the first step to setting boundaries is knowing what you want.
And it's also almost as if you can overdo it in terms of what you want, in terms of your list of wants and needs. That person might not be out there, especially if you're talking about a spousal relationship. There's a point where you've got to realize that you're going to be different in some ways. And also, how boring would it be if we all had the same philosophies and, you know, having a friend who thinks exactly like you? What are you going to, you're going to sit there and bitch about other people and how wrong they are? So it's quite difficult. And I think about the fact that I've always been open to having a housemate. And an estate agent called me the other day and said, you know, what are you looking for? Email me what you're thinking. So I emailed and I said, I'd prefer a female, 40s, 50s, who doesn't mind pets, but doesn't have pets of her own. And she replied and she said, your parameters are far too strict. I can't find anyone for you. I'm sorry, I'm out. And I thought, well, it wasn't huge parameters, but in the real estate world,
it is.
In this specific suburb, it's a problem for her.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, relationships, guys, is all about negotiation of needs. So, Leanne, using the example of an estate agent, but I'll just take it one step further. Imagine you're looking for a housemate to share your home with you. So you go on the paper and you type in exactly your requirements. If you take 100 people, you'll see that 100 people have different requirements. So one person, and by the way, the wrong thing is just be very general about it. I just want a housemate. Well, then you're going to get from the creepy to the very credible and the million things in between. But you see, if we boil down to the specifics, which is very important, all 100 people that advertise in the paper will have 100 different needs. I want somebody that is very hygienic. I want somebody to help me with the dishes. I want somebody to share the bedroom with me. I want somebody to be my friend and my partner, and a million other permutations of that.
Right.
When you engage in relationships, it's all about the negotiation of needs, but you got to know what you want. You got to define that. But again, many people don't want to be introspective, and that's why they get hurt, because they get their boundaries broken.
Well, the analogy,
and Dr. Hanan,
go on, Mbulelo.
It's an interesting thing you're saying. So a friend of mine, she becomes quite upset with me because I'm actually now in my life more interested in what I will not tolerate. Like, I found that the people in my life are excellent at telling me what they want. I always ask people, what don't you want? Like, tell me the things that where it's a non-starter, and she can't do that. She always thinks of the things she wants, relationships, and for me to do. And I'd say no, this is not negotiable. And I'm very clear on the things I don't want in my life, which actually clears up the things I do want for me. And it's really, really interesting to hear what you're saying on the religious thing. So for me, one of the things, if you're religious, it's a non-starter for me in a romantic sense, because I view it as we have to start at the same foundation. I mean, now these people have kids. That is a whole different ball game now. Now your kids are being exposed to that world. I mean, what would you say to them on that front? Because what if their kids get along with the other people, like in this case, you know?
We'll answer that one, Dr. Hanan, because this is complicated. It really does get very complicated.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, a lot of parents live vicariously through their kids.
Right.
But again, what role does your child have, and what needs can be fulfilled through the relationship with the other child? So if it's just about playing soccer, listen, my kid plays soccer, and the relationship that he has with his friends is just soccer. They don't have play dates afterwards. They don't go to shul together. They don't have, you know, they don't debate the meaning of life, and that's okay. They don't go to the other parents' homes, and therefore they're not getting influenced by their parents of the other kids' beliefs. And that's okay. But sometimes you have a relationship and your kids want to go and have play dates with, you know, with their friends, and they want to go to their house and they want to have sleepovers. And that's what we're going to interview. I, myself and my wife are going to interview the parents a lot more in depth and see that they do carry the same values. Because, for example, if I'm sending my child to somebody else's house and their parents believe that all the children sleep together in the same bedroom, in the same bed. Well, hold on one second. Is my child going to sleep in the same bed as you? That doesn't work for me. That goes against my own natural rules and boundaries. So again, you got to ask yourself, what role does the other person play in your child's life? And if the role is X and the other family cannot fulfill X, well, that's the end of the relationship, but that's okay.
Yeah, but some people really just have no idea of what they want. And to go back to your original statement about this, Dr. Hanan, it's like getting into the car and you want to go on a holiday, but you haven't decided what your destination is. And so you get disappointed that you didn't end up somewhere fantastic because you just got into the car without a plan. So
completely.
Anywhere could be your completely. Destination, and then you only have yourself to blame when it's not the destination that you fantasized about. So you have to decide where you're going. That's the truth, right?
You know, 100%. I mean, how many times have I said this on the show, and I'm going to keep on saying it. My favorite quote of all time is, if you're not the chess player of your life, you're a pawn in someone else's, period. If you don't know where you're going, you will always end up being where somebody else wants to take you. So taking your analogy further, Gareth, if I know I'm heading to Cape Town and somebody comes along and says to me, hey, can I ever lift to Durban? The answer is no. You can come with me to Cape Town, but I'm not going anywhere else. But if I don't know where I'm going, for sure I'll give them a lift to Durban, I'll give them a lift to PE, and I'll give them a lift to everywhere else. And I wake up 20 years later, and I was everywhere for everyone else, but not for me. But committing to a position, I've said this before, the reason why it's so difficult is because it comes with loss. The moment you commit to Cape Town, you have to let go of Joburg.
Right.
The moment you commit to marriage, you have to let go of being single. Mm-hmm. The moment I commit to job A, I have to let go of all other opportunities. And people are very greedy. They want Cape Town and Joburg.
Yep.
They want married life and being single. They want to have job A and have all the opportunities, which are B, C, D, F, G. And that is when you end up 20 years later regretting your position and the direction of your life. Knowing what you want.
Carl says, the best way to describe this roll thing is with rolls. If you want a garlic roll, don't order a cheese roll.
Yeah. And you know what? You were going to read something?
No, just this is a good comment from Michael, I think. Until you take care of your own emotional state, you'll always be attracted to someone who will reflect your unintegrated emotions back to you. Happiness comes from working through this in yourself. What do you think of that?
Well, let me address the roll thing. The truth is, though, if you want a garlic roll, I mean, many people go, let's use the same analogy, go to a restaurant and say, give me a roll, I'm hungry. And then you get what you don't want. So knowing what you want is very, very important.
Yeah.
Or, You know, I always say you have to have a blueprint in life. Valeria, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago in terms of exercise. You've got to have a blueprint because a blueprint drives your discipline. A blueprint drives behavior. A blueprint drives consistency. So a blueprint is important. Knowing what you want is part of the blueprint. And do you have to have a blueprint for every aspect of your life? The answer is yeah, but realistically, you would only create a blueprint for areas of your life where you're not getting the desired results. Mm. So if I'm getting desired results in my career, well, that's great. Obviously, the blueprint is working. I don't have to replan it. If I'm not getting desired results with my health, then I need to revisit the blueprint for sure. So look at those areas of your life where you're not getting the desired results, mm-hmm. and work out and ask yourself, am I working through the accurate blueprint? And you'll see 99% of the time the issue is with the blueprint.
Magic. We're going to end it on that note. Thank you so much, Dr. Hanan. We'll check in with you next week. And as I said at the beginning here, if you have a conflict situation with someone, or there's something complex going on, it could be a partner, it could be a family member, a work colleague, even a friend, email us. We'll put you on the line with Dr. Hanan. It's a free consultation. I mean, how often do you get that in your life? And he's a busy man. This guy's booked up from noon till night, from early in the morning. We basically squeeze him in on the show because that's the little bit of time he has. So if you want to get Dr. Hanan to help you resolve your conflict once and for all, email us, contact@cliffcentral.com. Thanks, Dr. Hanan. We'll check in with you next
week.
Nice
to see you guys.
Good stuff. Very good. So there we go. There's some useful information for the day. I love this. Michael continues with his wisdom today. He says, if you don't know where you're going, you get there too.
Amen.
Yeah.
Spot on. Amen.
Eddie says.
And some people want that. They want to get into a van and just.
Yeah. Adventure.
A kid-style van and just drive. Yeah.
No. I have friends that I only go surfing with, nothing else. We will never hang out. We only surf together and we're social in the water. That is how far it goes with certain friends. Well, yes, you know what kind of things you want from that friend. That's amazing, Eddie. Teach the rest.
Clear objective.
Yeah, exactly. And Robin says, my girlfriend is always stealing my t-shirts and sweaters, but if I take one of her dresses, suddenly we need to talk. Nice. All right. When we come back, we've got lots to get into. So Leanne has some funny stories, and Bulelo too. Apparently, there's a global coffee shortage. That'll tick all the boxes in terms of getting Bulelo worried. And there's a story about a sound engineer who makes charcoal from agricultural waste. This is a project that he did, and now it's his full-time job. He now supplies Pick and Pay. Amazing. He was a sound engineer before that. Lots of other good things. It's all coming up on cliffcentral.com next. Stick around. It's Monday morning, 7 o'clock.
Cliffcentral.com.